All right, we are in Galatians chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to continue our study through the book of Galatians. And this book has been so rich in just trusting in God, putting our faith in Him. The first three chapters of this book have been pushing a lot of the focus back to our faith in Jesus. And it's no surprise that Paul continues the same notion today in these passages. So a little reminder about the area of Galatia that the various churches that Paul's writing to, you know, they were a mixed group of believers. They had both Jews and Gentiles. They are a mixture of the people who started believing in Jesus as the Savior of the world. They were a little bit of the all the various people groups. They were mutts, so to speak. They had people who were trying to incorporate the works of the law into how you had to earn salvation, that you had to be circumcised according to the way that Abraham had sealed the covenant with God. They were saying that you had to eat certain foods or you had to avoid certain foods. They incorporated various traditions in saying that there were some things that you absolutely had to do that was making it more difficult for some who hadn't grown up as sons of Abraham, and making it not easier and not much different than the old life for those who were of Abraham's seed originally. But the works of the law isn't what was important. The only works that matter, even at all, are the works of faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, we're saved by grace, but it's through faith in Jesus. And out of our desire for that relationship with God, we operate and act in faith. You know, it's a bit like we talked about last week, that we pursue the promises of God by operating and receiving them by faith, preparing for them in faith. If God said it, He will do it, but He's looking for us to respond to that promise in faith. So when we hear that He's called new life to be a lighthouse, it doesn't mean that we hide behind these four walls and let our light shine until it gets to the doorway. No, it's meant for us to be active and serve in this community with love. Serve those who know God and those who don't know God, but doing it out of our love for them, because God loves them even more than we do. You know, it's like the story of two farmers who were praying for the rain, but only one of them went out and prepared the ground for the rain. So he's the one who operated in faith. He started doing stuff even before God sent the rain. So here, as we look at the end of chapter 3, it continues with some of the promises that God has made to His people. In Galatians 3:26, He continues saying, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you are as baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." This is a promise for us still today, that we're all sons or daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and that we're heirs of His. So happy Father's Day to our true Father. See, we're grafted into the family of God through Jesus. Jesus made a way that we could be counted as sons and daughters of Him. He made it so that we're not outcast as adopted kids, but fully legitimate parts of the family, so much that He even made us heirs to His throne. See, God loves us all so much that He restores our positions as His children. He welcomes us to the family. He pulls up another chair at the family table. He adds a leaf so that we're right in the middle of it. He puts us in the family picture up on the mantle, you know, where people are coming over and they're looking and it's going, "Hey, that's you there in that picture. Hey, wait, there I am too. Wait, we're related? You're my brother? See, being called a son or a daughter in God was a true privilege and likely a new concept for those in Galatia. See, whether they were Jews or the Greeks there, being a son or daughter, they weren't just called servants anymore, but they were now family. See, a servant wasn't normally invited into all the family partakings. They were usually held at a bit of a distance. They were kept under a little bit of restrictions, similar to how the Jews had been with the restrictions of the law. But God gives us the opportunity to become more than just a servant. He has the open invitation for us to be sons and daughters. How? It's the same thing that he's been saying throughout this book, through faith in Jesus. See, Jesus is that door to becoming a child of God. He's the only way that we can do it. It's not something that Paul is making up to make it sound good to try to lure people into the faith. It was told clear back in John chapter 1. There in John chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We must be born of God. If you're not born of God, born again, you're not a son of God. See, that's when God says that we are a child of his. We have to have a spiritual birth in order to have our spiritual father. Remember, we have to look at God's word through our spiritual eyes. It won't make sense if we're only looking at it with our natural eyes. See, we're born of the Spirit. You know, Jesus had talked about being born of the Spirit with Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Amen. Being born of the Spirit brings us into the family of God. It's done through faith in Jesus. Holy Spirit is given as a great helper to us. He shows us more than we would see on our own. He does more than we can ever think or hope. Being born of the Spirit isn't a catchy church saying. It's how we realize our new life that God has for us. Being born again, born of the Spirit, that is how we're grafted into the family of God. See, when we say yes to Jesus, it's deciding that we're embracing on a new us. It's saying that our old selves are dead. We are a new creation. Every day he's making us new, not just the day that we said yes to Jesus, but he continuously takes all that junk and icky stuff from us, and he brings us back to being new. He's there for as many times as we are willing to come back to him. God is a good God. He's a great Father. He cares for us all together. He cares for us all equally. He doesn't see us as Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Nothing makes any of us any better than anyone else. He doesn't see anything other than the fact that he sees us all as children. He blasts the man-made barriers. He's greater than anything that might try to divide us. So God doesn't see as man sees. In fact, that's what God told to Samuel when he was trying to find David to anoint him king. God had told Samuel that the Lord doesn't see as man sees, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. See, and that's what we have to remember. When we think that we're not worthy because of our actions to be called one of his children, we have to remember that that's not part of what makes us his family. It's our hearts positioned in faith in Christ that brings us into his family. Man might look at the differences, but God doesn't play favorites amongst his children. In fact, God doesn't even have favorites. He loves all his children. He's no respecter of persons. He'll use the oldest of us to the youngest of us and everyone in between, because that is how he decides to do it. He loves us all the same. He loves us all as his favorite child. We continue in Galatians 4 now, in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Verse 8, But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or are rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest if I have labored in your vain. Labor for you in vain. Before we were mature in Christ, we were still in bondage. We might be an heir, but we won't receive that full inheritance because we were still a slave. That's the way we are here, receiving the inheritance through the law. They weren't free to receive what God wanted to give them. They were still in bondage to it. They weren't fully realizing his promises. It had its time, but when the fullness of time had come, when the appropriate time had came, Jesus came. Jesus was born as a human, born with flesh, born under the law, having to follow all those rules, but he fulfilled the law. He remained in it, and he never sinned once. See, until Jesus came, the whole world was in bondage to the worldly ways. The whole world were actually sons of the devil, sons of darkness, it says. But after Jesus came, he made it so that we could be sons and daughters of God, children of light. I thank God that Jesus came. Thank God that he transformed us. They left our old selves back there in the darkness, and our new selves are found in the light. You know, Ephesians notes the changed nature, how we were darkness, but no longer are we darkness once we know to come and pursue the relationship with Jesus. We become light in the Lord, so we walk as children of the light. Paul talks in Ephesians how we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just like the others. But with Jesus, we're no longer that way. See, our nature is changed, so we embrace the new nature that he has for us. Jesus came under the law to redeem all of mankind from being under the law, so that we could receive adoption as sons. That's why Paul spent so much time refuting the law at the beginning of this book, is because the law does not make us sons and daughters. The relationship with Jesus does. See, this is our new nature. It's our new position, that we're no longer slaves of sin. We're now sons of God. Now, not all of mankind are sons of God. We are all made in God's image, but we're not all sons of God. Only those who accept Jesus' perfect life and perfect sacrifice, only those people are the ones that can be called children of God. So we are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. What promise, you might ask? Holy Spirit, like we talked about on Pentecost Sunday. We're born again of the Spirit. See, God desires for us to make us legitimate children so much that he sent his Spirit to be in us. He wants us to be his dwelling place. He doesn't want us to be a nominal son or daughter, a son or daughter in name only. He wants us to be a fully involved son or daughter. He desires for us to carry out and use his family name well. He's equipped us to do the stuff that he has his children to do. He's made it so that we recognize his voice. We recognize his ways. We recognize his nature. He's placed Holy Spirit in our hearts so that his desire is our desire. He desires relationship, so we cry out to him. We recognize him not just as father or as dad, but no, that much more intimate relationship of Abba. The intimate relationship of daddy. It's not just a formality, it's that personal desire, that personal longing for. That's what it means with that phrase, Abba. See, it's where we don't just want to be with him, but we yearn to be with him. We long to be with him. That's the way he made us, is to have a relationship with him. In the garden, it was all about the relationship with God. And that's where Adam and Eve struggled. That's where the fall of man came. We must cry out to Abba, Father. Now, I'm sure a lot of you guys have that type of feeling for someone you love. Some people, it's a, yeah, I kind of miss them. Other, it's a, man, I really miss them. I really don't know what to do without them. That's the way it should be when it comes to Abba, Father. Not knowing what to do without him. See, the mentality of what God can do for me only hurts our relationship with him. We shouldn't be calling out to God only when we're going through something. Not being like that kid that only calls their parents when they need help with something, they need something fixed, they're out of money. It's not a healthy relationship to have with our Abba Father. See, God wants us to come to him all the time. He wants us to seek him and spend time with him. Likewise, another harmful relationship we can have with our Father are the types of relationships of the, well, why don't you ask that person for me? I'm sure some of you guys may know what I'm talking about. Think about where someone goes, oh, well, we need to borrow something. whatever it is. It could be a bigger vehicle, a truck, tractor, weed whacker, you name it, air compressor, something that somebody else has, but you need to borrow it. But they don't actually call and ask the person them directly, ask the person for it them directly. They go through someone else. Call and ask their spouse. You call and ask someone else who has a relationship with them, having them ask them. Think about it. Same way here. See, God doesn't want us to come to Him through someone else. No, we're all His children. He wants us to come to Him personally. 90% of the time, what you'll hear me ask is, have you prayed about this yourself already? Because I push it back to that personal relationship with God. So it's good to have agreement with prayer on stuff. That's for sure. But He wants us to have that personal relationship with Him first. No person here on earth can be with anyone 24/7. Only God can do that. He's omnipresent. I'll say myself, Jeff and Nancy, anybody else, our role is what Ephesians 4 says. We're here to equip you to do it yourself. Ephesians 4, where it says that God's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Yes, I'll come alongside you, but there's some personal responsibility there for each and every one of us. Not dependent on going through someone else to get there. God's already given us that other someone else. We just have to name drop Jesus. When we come to God with something in His name, God is faithful to answer it. In fact, if you start thinking about, well, isn't it good to have two or more agreeing in prayer? Think about this. You have the absolute best person agreeing with you in prayer when you come to God immediately with it. You have Holy Spirit right there with you. You're praying and you have Holy Spirit agreeing with you. Or sometimes even if you're not able to pray yourself and you pray in the Spirit, you're agreeing with Holy Spirit praying, saying what He is saying. I'll say God works us all together if we look at Romans 8, starting in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. These days, it can be tempting to live according to the flesh. But if we're truly children of God, our position is that we're a child of God. We can't try to deny it. Can't try to deny who we are. Embrace being a son of this world. It's not who we are anymore. We're no longer that person. See, if we've been born again, we have that loving Father. We have that intimate Abba Father. So we have to put off the old man, put off that old conduct, change our ways, not because it's going to get us somewhere, but because when we try to do things the old way, that doesn't work for us anymore. The old man can bring death back to our lives. So we have to decide not to operate in that manner anymore. It's a personal daily choice to make a decision to seek Him or not. If we live according to the flesh, it brings death. But if we live by the Spirit, it brings life. We live by faith. We receive Him by faith. We receive the promises by faith. We're His sons and daughters by faith. Let's put a little cherry on top with this here this morning. We're going to read these verses out of Galatians 3 and 4 in the Passion Translation. Starting in Galatians 3:23, actually. So until the revelation of faith for salvation was released, the law was a jailer, holding us prisoners under lock and key until the faith, which was destined to be revealed, would set us free. The law was our guardian until Christ came so that we would be saved by faith, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian of the law. You have all become true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith immersed you into Christ, and now you are covered and clothed with His life. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are now Abraham's child and a true heir of all His blessings because of the promise God made to Abraham. In Galatians 4, verse 1, let me illustrate, as long as an heir is a minor, he's not really much different than a servant, although he's the master over them all. For until the time appointed by the father, the children is under domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. Verse 3, so it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But when the time of fulfillment had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Yet all of this was so that He would redeem and set free those held hostage to the law, so that we would receive our freedom and our full legal adoption as children. And so that we would know that we are His true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out immediately, "My Father, my true Father." Now we're no longer slaves living under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're His, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs because of what God has done. Verse 8, but before we knew God as our Father, we were unwitting servants to the powers that be, which are nothing compared to God. But now that we truly know Him and are intimately known by Him, why would we for a moment consider turning back to those weak and feeble principles of religion as though we were still subject to them? The book of Galatians, I believe, has been a timely word for us at New Life. But we're having to receive it personally for it to take roots and grow in us. It's a time for faith. It's a time for faith actions. We receive Him by faith. We're His children by faith. But His children reflect the family. His children can bring life, or they can bring death. Children pick up parents' traits. So our loving Father, our traits start to reflect His. Our words should build up. Our actions should line up to our faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of that which is not yet seen. But it's something that we can observe. So we need to make sure that our faith lines up to His words. We need to make sure our faith lines up to who He is. We serve a loving Father. We should be excited to be about His business. We should be desiring and longing to be in His presence. We should be thrilled to come and be with the family. Not, well, I'm here. I'd rather be watching football this afternoon. I've got all this other stuff going on, but I came because I should. Almost sounds like Eeyore there. But we have to be thankful in His presence. We should be thankful for being able to come around each other. We should be thankful to be able to come together and glorify Him for being our Father. See, Abba Father is not a cool way of saying Father. It's not a, oh man, we can mix the Greek and the English. No, it's our endearment for who He is. It's our embracing Him being that good, good Father. It's our saying that we long for Him. See, He adopted us, and He gave us a far better home than we had previously because He cared for us. He didn't just have us be some kid that He took in off the street. He loved us like we were His actual legitimate children. Because, see, He loves us so much because that's exactly the nature of who He is. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank You. Lord, we thank You that You have shown us so much love, God. Lord, we thank You that You are a God of love. So, Lord, we glorify You with that love this morning. Lord, we thank You for calling us as sons and daughters of You. Lord, we thank You for calling us into the family, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the inheritance that You have given us. Full access to the family treasury, Lord. Lord, full access to everything that the family has, not holding back one bit. Where nothing is off limits, because You said here, everything is open. So Lord, help us use what You have given us wisely. Lord, help us recognize our new nature. Help us recognize our new position. Lord, help us recognize this new life that You have for us. Lord, we thank You that You have grafted us into Your family by Your Spirit, Lord. Lord, we thank You that we are no longer slaves. Lord, we are now children of Yours. We thank You, God. Lord, help us embrace that. Help us walk that out each and every day. Lord, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. Lord, help us walk out exactly what You have planned. And help us carry it out in obedience to You. Lord, our desire is for You. Our desire is we call out, Abba Father, Abba Father. Lord, we thank You that You are faithful in answering our cries too. So, Lord, help us embrace You each and every day. Help us embrace You in the good times and the bad, Lord. Lord, help us recognize and glorify You every second because You are worth it. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.